Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Ezekiel. The Lord said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do you want to lift up my heart? A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On the behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except for my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the greatest blessings that you have here at St. Thaddeus is the wonderful ministry of Tom Morgan and the fact that if you're not here, you can participate by hearing what has been said and sung and prayed. And I'm really glad for that because since it's been now the third Sunday since I was here last on a Sunday, I got to hear both what Christian and what Pat had to say the last 2 weeks. And I want to comment briefly on each of them. First, Pat, I just was really moved by her touching tribute to the late, great Reverend Lou Garcia and his wonderful work with both the parish with which we serve together, Good Shepherd, and also his great work with Metropolitan Ministries that revived and helped bring about the greater success of that important ministry. But secondly, I want to commend Christian's words to you too, because the fear that he alluded to in his preaching just beautifully captured, I think, what is one of the biggest challenges that the church faces today and going forward. It relates to what this gospel today is about. I was blessed to have a bucket list trip about 10 years ago, going to the Holy Land. I'll probably in the rest of my short remaining part of my life not have the chance to go again, and it's fine because we had such a great trip. Well, the first night we were in Israel, we stayed at Nazareth. And let me tell you, it's a wonderfully fascinating place to visit if you've never been or if you ever have a chance to go. Nazareth is well worth your time. It's the place, of course, where the Annunciation took place. And the church that's built over the spot thought to be where the Annunciation took place has a wonderful old chapel that's underground, and you can see where that place is commemorated. But on top of it is built a whole new modern type of a church. And you can see that built on the establishment of the foundation of the coming of Christ, there is forward movement out into the world. You can also see the story as it unfolded not only in Mark and Matthew's accounts that give the basic story of how he came and taught and was sort of rejected because he wasn't who they thought he was always supposed to have been. And he said new things, and he challenged them in new ways. So they said, isn't this kid who grew up here, and how could he do all that? Boo, hiss, hiss. It reminds me of Sesame Street, Muppets record that I used to play for my son when he was little, back in the old records days, you know, in the very first one. They have this great song about the Muppets, and they come in, and the two old guys up in the balcony, you know, and they're sitting there, and they say, yay, well, that's wonderful, that's pretty good. Well, it wasn't so bad. He did a decent job. He could have done better, though, but you know, he was terrible. Boo, boo, boo. I'm sure they all thought they'd heard about what Jesus was doing, and they said, oh, it's exciting that he's coming here, bringing some of his followers with him. But when he got here, they said, he's not the kid who used to run around on the streets, and his brothers and sisters here, and how can he say these things? How can he do these things? Boo, boo, hiss, hiss. And if you read the Luke account, it's even worse, because they grab him and they take him up to a high mountain, ready to throw him off for what he was saying and doing. Matthew and Mark just have, you know, the fact that he couldn't get much done there, except a few people were healed. No, it's just a few people were healed. That's all he could do. But in Luke, they take him up to a high mountain, and they're ready to throw him off this cliff. When all of a sudden, he passed through them and went on his way. Jesus always passes through us. The question is, will we follow him? Or will we just say, oh, there goes that kid who grew up here and it never amount to anything? Or will we just say, well, he was good, but I'm okay where I am. I don't know if any of you have been following the general convention. I haven't followed it closely, because being retired, I'm kind of not invested in it like I used to be when I was younger. But the one thing I've noted about it is that it's deja vu all over again, as Yogi used to say. Deja vu all over again. Because when I first came out of seminary, that was the fight. The prayer book. Are we going to do away with this 1928 prayer book that was the same as it was century after century? Are we going to go with something that reflects the way we talk now and the way we live our faith now? And if you remember that era, if you were here then, you know it got pretty nasty and we lost a lot of members because of it. And it's raised its ugly head again. But now the argument is, well, should we go ahead with reform? And what should we do? And what format should it have? And, you know, if you think about it, this is one of the greatest sins we've ever done. And I don't mean the fact that it's all laid out for us. That's wonderful. And it's very comfortable, very easy to use. How many trees died because of this that we throw away every week? And have to reprint a new one every week. I guess it keeps Martha employed. That's a good thing. And the reason I refer to that is because what we have here is a fear to put the past in perspective, to use it as a stepping stone, to use it as a launching pad for doing the real work of Christ. That is, restoring God's place in the world, healing people that they may heal others. Now, this basic challenge can be applied to any number of situations in our life, not least of which is the church itself. Are we going to be curators of a museum? Are we going to be active in renewing the face of the earth? Which is a quote from Psalms, by the way. But I don't want to get into that now. I'd rather talk about another issue to which it applies, and one that I just alluded to in talking about our bulletin. It's a very spiritual issue, even though a lot of people take issue with it, because it is the foundation stone of our faith. God the Father created the world. He set it in harmony so that we could live in harmony with that creation. He told us to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. But he didn't tell us what to do once we had. And for the longest part of human history, we did that. Until about 150 years ago, when along came something called the Industrial Revolution. And in the second part of the 19th century, 150 years ago or so, we discovered all sorts of new things that would make life so much easier and help us subdue the earth and fill it. And from that time, we've created a monster. Because while the Industrial Revolution was a revolution against old and difficult ways of living into a new and easier way of living, it was also a revolution against the harmony of humanity and nature. There was a Frank and Ernest cartoon several years ago that really hit the nail on the head. It had Earth talking to Saturn in outer space. And Saturn says, "Oh, I understand you have a climate problem." And Earth said, "No, it's not the heat, it's just the humanity." And what the whole thing boils down to is there are too many people. You know all these issues about immigrants? It's happening all over the world. It's not just the United States. It's happening all over the world. And you know why? Because the few who have and have lived into the future haven't brought the rest of the world along with us. We've made them envious of us so much that they're dying from poverty, starvation, illness. And guess what they want? The same as what we have. So everywhere in the world, the Industrial Revolution is working against us in terms of immigration, in terms of overpopulation. And it's not an easy thing to figure out. But there's also all the comforts of life. I grew up in the 50s. We never even, in Florida, okay? In Florida, we never had air conditioning till I went away to college. We sat there in those little houses blowing window fans and stuff, sweating at night because it was so hot. Went to Camp Weed in the Diocese of Florida. Only air-conditioned spot in the whole camp was the director's office. We managed. But now there's so much air conditioning everywhere, it puts as much heat out into the world as it cools the part that's there. You think we could all just turn our thermostats down just a little bit so it wouldn't heat us up so bad? Or turn them up a little bit so it wouldn't, whatever, you know what I mean. There's so many little things we can do, and most of us are doing those things. But that's not enough. That's not enough. So I want to sing the praises of one Saint Arnold of Schwarzenegger. He had a real interesting comment not too long ago where he said, let's put two rooms back there with doors in front of them, and let's consider one of them has power by renewable energy. But it costs a lot to get in it because renewable energy hadn't been developed all the way yet. But it's, yeah. The other one, guess what? It has a car. A car with an internal combustion engine running on gasoline. That's easy to get in. Which one are you going to go into and sit there for an hour while that car is running or while the sun is cooling the other room? Problem, folks, is the Industrial Revolution has now made it to where we think the established way is the comfortable way, is the only way, is the way that we all should live. And it's going to cost us if we convert to get back into harmony with nature. It's going to cost us, not only financially, but in terms of changing our lifestyles. And Lord, don't make me do that. I'm afraid of what may happen. It's a shame that our current president pulled us out of the global attempt to do something about climate change. Because, you know what, folks? When you really talk about the comforts of the past and maintaining that with the hope of the future and paying what it costs to get that, stick with the comforts of the past, and there ain't gonna be no future. Already, some people think climate change is too late to be reversed. And if we don't, as Christians, strive to cure that illness. Strive to drive out that demon. We might as well take Jesus, put him in that cliff, and toss him off. Because he died that we might live. He died that we might join with him in paying the price, the cost of giving life to the world. Don't just dismiss this as not a spiritual challenge, because it truly is a spiritual challenge. It's the essence of our life as Judeo-Christians in this world, especially as Judeo-Christians who have so much. So I'll sing a song to end this and hope that I've challenged you to think more about these issues and even maybe take a role in challenging them. Be among the 12 he sent out to risk all they had that new cures might be found. Because that's the other contrast of today's gospel. What he could do there, opposed to what he could do in sending people forth to bring new hope and new life and a real future for our life together. You know, the song I got to sing is 40 years old. It was written back in the 60s by none other than Joni Mitchell. They paved paradise. They put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum and charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Hey, farmer, farmer, put away your DDT now. Give me spots on my apples, but save me the birds and the bees, please. Don't it always seem to go you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. Late one night, I heard the screen door slam, and a big yellow taxi took away my old man. But don't it always seem to go you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paved paradise and put up a parking lot. The challenge is before us, friends. It's easy to dismiss as something too big for me to do anything about other than maybe change my thermostat, maybe recycle a few cans. But the challenge is before all of us to sit there and say, isn't this the carpenter that grew up here? Or to risk like the 12 that he commissioned to go forth and bring forth fruit. Fruit that shall remain. The hope of harmony for the world that is truly our responsibility. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Please stand with me and let us share our faith together by reciting the Nicene Creed found on page 10 of your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of God.
from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, and give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list: Margaret, Steve, Nicole,
Courtney and JR,
Blair,
John and Joan,
Paul,
Marie,
Chuck,
Jimmy,
Martha,
Renee,
Jaden,
Ryan and Haley,
Teddy,
Richard,
Regina,
Irene,
Larry,
June,
Michael,
Laura,
Baylor,
Shay,
Eddie Hack,
Doug,
Alberta,
Tom,
Jane,
Tony,
Zach,
Betsy,
Michael,
Clara,
Georgina,
Georgie,
Russ,
Sarah,
Bill,
Martha,
Shane,
Judy,
Jean,
Richard,
Jackie,
Alan,
Pat,
Nick,
Morgan,
Renee,
Tony,
Raphael,
David,
George,
Randy.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Send your Spirit upon this congregation and its leaders to call a new rector and prepare our hearts to receive this person. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need. Turn us unto your ways, O God, and grant us courage to encounter new paths.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Turn us unto your ways and make us lovers of all, opening our arms to embrace our neighbor's need.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Are there other intercessions?
We pray for the rescue attempt being made in Thailand for the soccer playing boys and their children.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Hilda Bayer. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Thank you.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
If you want to sing it from the music, in the Levis book, it's page 120. So you'll know when to sing. I'll show you when to sing. Okay.
Heavenly hosts, praise God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia, alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died, rose, and lives for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now unto God's gracious mercy and protection we commit ourselves. May God bless us and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And may the light of God's countenance lift us up and give us power and peace to know and to do God's will this day and evermore. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.